Big Bitch Energy.
Big Bitch Energy.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to the Big Bitch Energy Podcast
at the Lincoln Lodge
with your hosts, me, Sharon Palm,
and me, Suze Ballout.
Wow. Listen, amazing. There's some hot heat out in the world right now.
Yes.
We were talking a little bit about media influence last time.
Yeah.
And we talked about Lizzo a little bit. Mm-hmm. And in the last week, this headline reads, former Lizzo dancers were weight shamed and pressured while at strip club.
Not fat shamed.
Not that, no.
Not fat shamed at a strip
club. We're all
club.
Used to sexual harassment.
It was just in kidding. Amsterdam, so it was off American soil.
Oh, I didn't know that part. That's why I think it'd be fun. This is fun. That's not fun to talk about, actually. It's for anyone listening who isn't in the loop about it,
mm-hmm.
Now you will be. We're going to learn about it together in real time.
In real time. Mm-hmm. I do have a statement from her. I'm going to read. Something that she didn't say anything right away. I remember that. Like,
yeah,
this is maybe like a few days. But she says, these last few days have been gut-wrenchingly difficult and overwhelmingly disappointing. My work ethic, morals, and respectfulness have been questioned. My character has been criticized. Usually, I choose not to respond to false allegations, but these are as unbelievable as they sound and too outrageous to not be addressed. These sensationalized. Oh my God, what? What? What I have,
these sensationalized stories are coming from former employees who, yes, have already publicly admitted that they were told their behavior on tour was inappropriate and unprofessional.
Yeah.
That's the end of that.
I'm so sorry. I could not. I was like, my glasses.
Sound it
I
out, babe.
Them. You know what?
Put on your glasses. Boom.
Thank you. As an artist, I have always been very passionate about what I do. I take my music and performances seriously because at the end of the day, I only want to put out the best art that represents me and my fans. With passion comes hard work and high standards. Sometimes I have to make hard decisions, but it's never my intention to make anyone feel uncomfortable or like they aren't valued as an important part of the team. I am not here to be looked at as a victim, but I also know that I am not the villain that people in the media have portrayed me to be these last few days. I am very open with my sexuality and expressing myself, but I cannot accept or allow people to use that openness to make me out to be something I am not. There is nothing I take more seriously than the respect we deserve as women in the world. I know what it feels like to be body shamed on a daily basis and would absolutely never criticize or terminate an employee because of their weight. I'm hurt, but I will not let the good work I've done in the world be overshadowed by this. I want to thank everyone who has reached out in support to lift me up during this difficult time.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Something that I read a really long time ago is protect your character, not your reputation. Mm. And I feel like ever since this came out, so many people have come out and been like, she's difficult to work with. She is not nice. She's super rude. They were going to like make a documentary with her. And that ended up falling through because she was difficult to work with. And I don't know if any of this is true, but I feel like if multiple people are coming out, I mean,
it's like, yeah, if there are a ton of people that have a problem with you, then you're probably the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, there's like a trend in Hollywood and just like in entertainment in general where I think a lot of really popular female identifying actors and performers are put in that box of being difficult to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But like, why were they difficult to work with? Like, I used to feel that way a lot. Like, Katherine Heigl got a lot of heat for being hard to work with.
Mm-hmm.
She had like a real rom-com streak, like, mm-hmm. in the 2000s, right? But everyone's like, she sucks to work with. And But I remember reading into it, and some of the claims were just like, you know, rude, short with people. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that can also be interpreted as just being direct and not mm-hmm. sugarcoating things. Mm-hmm. So, like, was she difficult to work with because she has an attitude, or she's a diva, or high maintenance, et cetera? Mm-hmm. Or is it just because you just didn't like that she wasn't, like, all smiles and friendly communication? I don't know.
She
I mean, I think it's
also nominated for an Emmy mm-hmm. and didn't want to accept it or something along those lines. And then writers felt like dissed by her for not like accepting Grey's Anatomy as like a real show.
I remember
but
that.
I also okay. remember she was like on a talk show, and she was also like, she was on a talk show, and she was also like, I was setting boundaries for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Right. Which, and boundaries. Mm-hmm. So many people misinterpret what they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, well, I set a boundary, and I said that you couldn't go to that party. It's like, that's not a boundary. Mm-hmm. That's a rule.
Mm-hmm.
And a boundary is something that we put in place to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like she's saying that she was setting boundaries. It's not like she was like, mm-hmm. well, if you want me to accept this, you know, that's fine. But I'm not going to for X, Y, Z reasons. I mean, whatever the case may be. But right. Mm-hmm. Like, boundaries are about us, not mm-hmm. about other people.
Mm-hmm. I also think in terms of the Lizzo thing, like she like Lizzo is like a person in power.
Mm-hmm.
And so when someone's that big, you just kind of like,
but sorry,
I know, right? No, same. In my head, I was like, no pun intended. When someone has that much fame, I'm sure that there is pressure to.
Yes. Well, and also like, this is, okay, so like as soon as I learned about this lawsuit, or, you know, just like the stuff that happened, I was like, oh my God, please don't be true. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not just that she's such a advocate for body positivity, it's also that she's up until this point has been a positive black face in media, and that's so important, mm-hmm. especially for, you know, women and just, I don't know, anyone that's not a cis white dude, mm-hmm. right? I don't mm-hmm. know. And so I'm just like, it doesn't just suck for people like you and I, it sucks for a whole other demographic of people, and that
100%
sucks. And that's something else, like I guess want to be, you know, mindful of how I approach this part of things, because I'm a white woman
mm-hmm.
and I have no idea what the black woman experience is like,
mm-hmm.
but based on things I've heard from like friends of color, women of color in my life, who, you know, they say that they have to work that much harder to be like respected and taken seriously,
mm-hmm.
especially the more attention you get, the more traction you get, like in your career, like mm-hmm. whatever career it is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we, like women in general, have to fight harder. Women of color have to fight even harder than that.
100%. I mean, we can't talk about feminism without intersexuality, right?
Yeah.
Like, it all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, 100%. I honestly, I'm kind of like done. Like, I feel like I was a part of, like, I, you know, cancel culture, like, is so like, okay, someone did something, ban them from everything. When really it's just kind of like, yo, like, we don't know anything yet.
Yes.
The trial has not come out. Like, I really have no idea who's right or wrong. I don't have a side. I think that I just want to know more.
Same. And obviously, there have been cases in the past where someone tries to accuse someone who is famous or has wealth of something that they didn't do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is something that happens. It's just not something mm-hmm. that gets a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And talking about cancel culture, I mean, cancel culture became a hashtag. Cancel culture yeah. became something that could get you views
mm-hmm.
and clicks mm-hmm. and engagement, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. as soon as you say, oh, cancel culture, back at it again, hear about what happened to this guy.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, oh, shit. You know, because mm-hmm. everyone has an opinion on it. People are either for cancel culture or they're not for it at all. And I think I'm just like somewhere in the middle, because canceling is implying we're just wiping the slate clean and we're having nothing to do with this person ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm always interested in seeing how people redeem themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am interested to see how she redeems herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You know,
I mean, I think about Ellen and how like, I mean, it doesn't mean if, I mean, I loved her like so, so much, but I had no idea. But it's also like she preached be kind to each other. She preached like being good to people. And
she was a huge, huge, like, I remember one of the, like, first memories of watching that show with my mom as a kid and her just talking about not judging people before you know them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how often, you know, how often people are judged and just based on how they look. And she's like, you know, and then, like, that whole thing when she came out as gay and it was, like, a huge moment at that time because it just wasn't something we saw on television a whole lot.
No, 100%.
And then she ends up, so it's like being queer or being, you know, being in any minority doesn't, you know, make you impervious to like bad stuff. And it also means you can't be an asshole.
Exactly.
Just like there are, you know, I don't know. I guess I mean, what I'm trying to say is good people can do bad things.
Yeah. Or it catches up to you.
Or it catches up to you. Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
do you think was, she did like, it? Do you think it's true?
Lizzo?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I don't know. At first I was kind of like, yeah. But then I was like, no, you know nothing. I really just don't know. Like, I think that like a TMZ interview came out.
Yes.
With the three people that are accusing her. And they were like, well, did she make you do anything? And they were kind of like, well, we just wanted to have fun. And we wanted to be a part of the other dancers' fun. And I just think that I'm like, okay, well, there's way more to the story. And I think both parties did something, had a part in this. I do think it took two to tango.
Yeah. I will say, too, that it's a fine line. Like, I think a lot of us have been there where you are in an uncomfortable situation. You don't know how to call it out because you just want to have fun or you don't want to be the party pooper or you don't want to, like, draw attention to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just so many reasons why we don't call things out that are problematic in the moment. And I know that I have been a perpetrator of this. I have been the one that made someone else feel uncomfortable. And like, you know me personally, like I think I go through great lengths to never make anyone feel uncomfortable at all. And you
I think
know,
that you're good at looking at all sides of a situation to be like, I'm not going to put the blame on someone else. I'm going to like try and take accountability for this too.
For like my part in it. Yeah. So I feel like I'm going to say that I believe that some of it is true or that she did do some things that were inappropriate or who knows about the actual night when they were at the strip club. I am going to go and say that I kind of feel like it's going to be way too hard to pick apart what even happened that night. I mean, everyone was having fun in a very social setting with strippers. That means there's a lot of music. That probably means there's booze flowing. I'm not going to say that I'm, you know, I'm just saying that kind of environment usually comes with drugs. I mean,
I think that also, though, like if you're going to be the boss like that, you can't really, like you can have fun
do
with
stuff
your,
like that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Because like then it's just like, because people aren't going to really blurry. Take you seriously. Yeah, exactly. And then it's just kind of like, well, are you more of a friend or a boss? And like, you know,
I'm just saying that with all those things at hand, I'm just saying it's just going to be too hard, I think, to pick apart what happened that night. But I'm more interested in hearing about and learning about what she puts people through who work for her.
Yeah.
Like, I think that part's more important to me. But I think there's going to be so much more light shed on the night that they all went out and partied together. And then another thing that makes things feel a little like sus is that I saw it says Lizzo and Liz, prominent celebrity lawyer Marty Singer raising suspicion amid harassment allegations. So Marty Singer has represented Bill Cosby, Johnny Depp, Chris Brown, etc. I mean, you like see a pattern, like he's represented some icky people.
Yeah.
So then it's like, but he is a celebrity lawyer. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like the celebrity itself, they don't always have a choice in these kinds of things, because I think there's, you have a team of people behind you who are like now working for you, mm-hmm. and the collective image that you are.
Well, I mean, also if like you're gonna want to win a case, I guess you want to get the best of the best,
I guess. Yeah, lawyer. but I feel like that is a little like
sus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does make me feel some type of way, I guess, is more and more accurate.
I think that we just need to wait and see.
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
Because I don't know. Who the fuck knows? Like, and also, it's also like, I want to believe that people can change and people can get better, just so that for myself, like if I am caught doing something that, you know, I'm like, oh, fuck, like I fucked up. I really hope that people give me some grace. And I'm not saying give her grace, like believe her. And
well, it'd probably be different if it was a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. instead of her being like a huge pop celebrity, mm-hmm. Instead she's like really famous in the LA scene for her music, and she's mm-hmm. just not quite famous yet. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that, like lower tier level of fame, like maybe you're insta famous or mm-hmm. I don't know, mm-hmm. you have more internet traction than you do in real life, mm-hmm. who knows. I'm just saying, like, I feel like people wouldn't care as much if she wasn't as in the public eye as she is, mm-hmm. also because of all the body positivity stuff and how people come at her for her weight all the time, mm-hmm. I feel like this is now gonna like embolden those kinds of people even more.
Right. Well, you saying that just kind of made me realize like a lot of kids go to her concert,
mm-hmm.
so she's a role model to a lot of people.
Or an example or mm-hmm. inspiration. I mean, that's why it's like I've always said, I don't want to be that kind of famous. I mm-hmm. want to be like famous in a way where maybe there's some places I could go where people who know who I am, but I can go other places and people have no fucking clue who I am. And like,
mm-hmm. right.
you know, the kind of famous where like you can live comfortably making money doing the things you love to do. Mm-hmm. But not so famous that you literally can't go anywhere without like protection and stuff.
No, 100%.
You know, so I can't imagine. I mean, like you said, we don't know. And I can't imagine what it is to live that kind of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And the stakes are so high.
Yeah, it's
the
true.
Stakes are high for the people accusing her. Because
that's why it's weird and why I'm like, you wouldn't just like.
I think I want TMZ to do the interview. That part is also like weird to me. Like,
I'm like Good Morning America.
TMZ is just a live action tabloid. Like, that's all it is. I don't know. I'm not saying that they don't talk about stuff that's actually happening, but isn't it all kind of manipulated in a way to be. You know, we love picking up those trash magazines. I love picking up trash magazines.
No, it was same though.
What Prince Harry do? Who'd he spit at? Oh, it wasn't really spit, you say? He sneezed and he apologized.
What trash magazines are you buying?
I don't know. That was actually like really nice. That's actually not trash at all.
Literally.
It was a misunderstanding today.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it too.
Well, yeah, because it's gonna
keep going.
I mean, who this knows is definitely gonna be a hot drug button topic. Out. And I can tell you what, right now, Suze, just for you know all the listeners out there, Suze and I host an open mic, and nice. I'm not looking forward to hearing everyone's take on this.
Oh my god,
because it's gonna rule the open mic circuit for a while, just like with the fucking submarine shit, you know. Everyone was like, I don't know, I can't even.
Yeah, everyone's hot take on Lizzo. I can't wait.
Billionaires dead, we're glad they're dead, right? He like, yeah, I
see.
Yeah.
Women can do it too. That's how I'm.
Oh yeah,
that's what I feel like we're gonna hear.
Yeah, I mean, I've already seen it.
Mm-hmm.
People making status is being like, oh, well, y'all gave me shit for shitting on Lizzo a year ago. What do you think now? And I'm like, right. I literally no one cares. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. because people are going to like who they like. People shit on Taylor Swift or they either want to eat her asshole. I don't know.
No, it's so true.
It's true.
I don't really care for Lizzo's music, but that doesn't mean that I'm like, I just don't listen to it.
Yeah.
That's it.
There you go.
I just don't listen to it.
Wow. A fat woman who doesn't listen to Lizzo. I mean, I don't really listen to her much either because as you know, it's not my genre of choice.
Well, every song is the same. In my opinion, I think that some, like, her albums are, like, the same. And I'm like, okay.
I feel like there's some bangers. I got some bangers on playlists and stuff. That's, I like the song she did with Missy Elliott because Missy Elliott is, in my opinion, 100%. For me, she was the one that really showed me that thick bitches can be cool as hell. Like,
100%.
And she like has just looked the same for like 100 years. Like this bitch has not aged. But Missy Elliott did a song with her, and I loved. I mean, I played that song on repeat for a while. It's because, you know, a lot of music's just about vibes, but
that's true.
I digress. And she's a vibe. You know what I mean? She puts out a particular vibe of taking up space and owning your shit and having fun. And so that's why I hope that she, you know, we're not learning that she's a skeezy skeezer head. I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That being said, we said, or I addressed that I'm a white person, a white lady, who shouldn't be talking about a lot of things. Just kidding. But, Suze, I know people think you're white, but you're not.
No, I'm an undercover white girl.
You're undercover white girl.
I am Lebanese. Both my parents are from Lebanon. And I've been there a lot. Like, I've been there maybe, like, 6 times. I got stuck in a war there at one point, so, you know, I feel like I'm a super Lebanese person for going through that experience. I'm just like,
you're not regular Lebanese, you're
I'm super Lebanese.
Lebanese.
Yeah, okay. It's the super Lebanese are the people that go through the wars. But yeah, like, I think it's weird because, you know, in America we do have so much of the media controlling of like what we need to look like, but also image is really, really important in Lebanon. But they are so much more direct in the way that I look. I remember this one time.
What do you mean direct?
Like, they will tell you to your face, you are fat.
Got it. Okay.
Whereas, like, the media tells you that you're fat here.
But they do it in roundabout ways. It's like thinking about slimming down for the summer.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today.
With the Yoplait.
The Yoplait commercials. Like, so passive aggressive. Like, you know, just like,
unlocked.
You know. Yeah. No, 100%.
Continue. Oh, my God.
No, I know. I mean,
my
truly.
Fridge was filled with Yoplait.
And guess
for
what?
For years.
They're not good for you.
They're not good for you.
But the marketing was fucking on point.
Ooh.
Whereas in Lebanon, you don't need marketing. You just have aunties and people being like, you should go see a doctor and get bypass surgery, even though you're not like morbidly obese. Like, I
bypass, they were telling you to get, not even liposuction or a tummy tuck. They were literally telling you to get gastric bypass.
They were telling me to cut half my stomach.
How old were you?
Honestly, my parents have always really wanted me to get gastric bypass. But I'm not like at risk or like necessarily qualify. They also wanted me to get the lap band at one point,
I'm just saying, right now you're 28.
Yes, so I was probably,
so they were telling you
16
this?
17
yeah, they were
18,
telling you this
like around that, yeah,
when you were a child,
when I was a kid. And like, those surgeries are not easy.
Mm-mm.
Like, you should really only be getting gastric bypass if you are like dead, like deathly ill from your weight, like literally your weight, like you know that your weight is causing you issues and you cannot stop eating. Cause like even when you get gastric, everyone I feel like has seen a 600 pound life.
Oh my
like,
God. I was just thinking about that.
You know, I was not 600 pounds. No, I was a.
They suggest that surgery is a life saving thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get to that point, right? Like, you're not, I don't know. That's insane to me that they.
Which, by the way, we have to talk about that doctor at one point that's in my 600-pound
life. Yo, he's savage, but, like, in a good way to me. I think he's funny, honestly. Like,
well, obviously, these people, like, are coming in for the reality check. Yes. You know, that is their reality check.
And then we're talking about earlier, it's not necessary that he's a mean dude. He's just direct. He's not sugarcoating anything. He's not.
It's so I've like watched clips of him and they'll be like, I'm a really picky eater. He's like, no, you're not.
You don't get to be 600 pounds by being a picky eater. Yeah. He, oh my God, that's what I said. He is savage. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he had to go that hard.
No, 100%.
With that kind of comment. But it is a TLC show, you know, what can we expect? However,
no, exactly.
But yeah, we can get back to that.
Yes.
But
so I'm in Lebanon. This is probably like the second to last time that I was there, and I was going with my mom to, my aunt's house. And this was like my first time that I was going to see her and my cousins again, cause I hadn't seen them in years. I was feeling so insecure. I mean, people look at me differently down there. I'm not like the typical girly girl, Lebanese girl. I also have very much of like my own opinion. Like, I'm very strong minded. I'm very like, which I'm not saying Lebanese women aren't, but I think that
we're
like,
talking about culturally speaking, that's what's typical.
You know, I was, I think that I was a lot more, I was loud and like things that like culturally speaking, women shouldn't be. And so I always have a really tough time down there because I just always feel like I'm being judged. So I wasn't really feeling that great going to my aunt's house. And then when we get there, my aunt had guests already over. And I like called my cousins because like basically like you go up the steps and then their room is like right there. So like I didn't want to like bother them or like intrude in their space. So I stood at the bottom of the steps and I was like, hey, y'all, I'm not going to say their names, but like, you know, come down here, like come say hi. And like the two boy cousins that I have like came down and I was like, hi, it's so good to see you. Like, I haven't seen you in so long. And I just kind of see them snickering and they just go, wow, you've really gained weight, haven't you? Like, they're just like these little kids. And in my head, I'm like, I could like literally fucking crush you. Like, what the fuck is happening? You know? And I was like, I just kind of was like taken aback and I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's the, like, hi, haven't seen you in a while. Like, you know, it was immediate, like, you're fat. So then I kind of get like emotional because I'm already like not in that great of a place. And I like hide in the closet. My mom had brought like food with us so that we can eat. And she comes to find me and she's like, why? You know, she sees me in the crying in the closet and she goes, oh, you heard what the woman said. And I was like, what did the woman say? She said, she goes, she was saying that you're so fat, you can't go up the stairs to get your cousins. And then I break down even more because I'm like, so that's, it's like, I didn't even know about that. It was literally because my cousins were calling me fat that I was upset in the first place.
Also, she could have just said, why are you upset? Not guess.
No.
There's just so many things wrong about how she 100 approached you in that moment.
100%. My mom is not, she's not a good comforter. Like, she was never like a comforting mom. You know, I think that, I love my mom, but she's just like more on the cold side. of yeah. things. Like if I had a nightmare growing up, like I would never go to my mom. Like I would go to my dad because my dad was more like, oh yeah, let's go back to bed. My mom would be like, no, just go. Why did you wake me up? Like, just, you know.
You know, like, because I'm a kid that had a nightmare. You heartless bitch.
I don't know. It's weird. My mom once was like, it was hard for me to hug you more as a child because you just cried a lot.
Oh my god. Wow. Your mom has a lot of audacity, huh?
No, I mean, truly.
She's audacious as hell, huh? Wow.
She really is. And so this like huge thing happened, and you know, the day before I was like at the salon with my mom getting a haircut, and this woman just is staring at me so hardcore, and I knew what she was gonna say, but I was like, hi, how's it going? Just like, hi. And she was like, hey, you know, you'd be so much more beautiful if you were thin.
Oh my god, I can't. If I had a dollar for every time that I've been told that throughout my life, I could have a little nest egg in the bank to rely on for a rainy day.
It's like,
that's insane.
It's crazy how much people there put emphasis on like being thin, looking good. Like,
no, all these people around you, and they're all within a smaller weight range, lighter weight range. Yeah, they're all thin. Or
like, I tried to go shopping in Lebanon because my dad was like, don't bring stuff, it's fine, like I'll take you shopping, and like they didn't have my shoe size. They don't have any sizes for
don't
plus
have your
size.
Shoe size.
Yeah, like they literally only carry up to like a size 9 is like, you know, a size 8 is very like standard. I'm like, how do bigger women get things here? I don't understand like why it's like that. But I was like, because it's European sizes, so I was like, hey, do you have like a size 44? And they would look at me like, what? No, I have a size 40. Can you fit in a size 4? I can't fit. I'm not going from a size 11 to a size 8 foot. I'm not going to squeeze my foot into this, you know? And so it's just so much of that down there where it's just like, you know, you just feel like shit. I felt like shit. Like, every time I go down there, I always feel terrible.
I'm sorry.
It's sad because I really put my parents put such an emphasis on culture growing up because they tried so hard to not Americanize me. Like, they really wanted me to like continue having my roots and like, you know, marry someone who's Lebanese, you know, be a Lebanese housewife, like learn how to cook, clean, you know, be a
subservient, feminine, quiet.
And I was more like, I'm going to be a comedian. I mean, for 7 years that I've been in Chicago, my parents told people, I still tell people I'm in school.
They tell people that you're in school out here?
Yeah. They tell people
school
that I'm in
school. School hard knocks.
No, it's true. It's like weird. Like everything is about image. And
so they're just like, what? You are a grown woman living on her own.
Yeah.
Paying for your own shit.
Yeah.
Getting shit done. You're funny as hell.
Thank you.
Get booked regularly. you got an awesome person in your life who loves you. Mm-hmm. You have wonderful friends and support. And you just have like a rich life. Like, they should be proud of that. And I hate them for you. Okay.
It's okay. Yeah, but I'm not a doctor or a lawyer or engineer or something, you know, that sustains life. I mean,
you engineer jokes.
Yeah.
Is that what engineering is? Yes.
Reaching. We're reaching.
Engineering jokes. Listen, you heal people by just existing, which is what doctors were like a million years ago, basically. I'm not a doctor.
Doctors just being there, being like,
yeah.
Yo.
Like the guy. The guys, who's, I don't know, you know, they have a special oil, or they'd be like, here's the fat from a rabbit, eat it, and it will make you go to sleep. I don't know.
No.
That's.
No, 100%.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
no, I get it. Yeah. No, like, they no,
want
that makes
you,
sense, though,
they
for
want
some
you
reason.
To be, they want you to be a learned doctor. You know, they want you to, like, I just don't get it. Because they think that it's going to bring you happiness because they think that more money and security is what they want for you. I mean, are we more trying like to reframe a title. It? I don't know.
You know, like having a title.
Is it like a family honor thing? Because I come from white trash culture. Where no one brings honor to anyone's family ever. We're all ashamed. But we cram it deep down to the point where everyone is so apparently unashamed that they cause problems. Yeah.
I'm sorry that I'm laughing because your dad was a heroin addict.
That's true. Well, he technically still is. They never aren't.
That's true. I mean, he's a addicted.
Recovering yes, heroin addict.
Yes.
Correct. And my mom is very much an active alcoholic. We're going to laugh at it, you know, because you're fine. You know what? I don't care, honestly. She's never going to listen to this. She's not.
I mean, no.
And if she does, she'll only listen to the parts where I talk about her. And then she'll be like, you don't love me. Like, she just sucks,
can you call me mommy?
Can she? Oh, my God.
Can you?
You talk about how your mom was cold. Mm-hmm. My mom, I guess, was very like affectionate. Like, she's very good at giving hugs and was always wanting to give us kisses and sleep next to us and stuff like that. But that's it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, she wasn't emotionally available.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To herself, mm-hmm. even. And that's a big thing.
I don't know if this was for the case for your mom, but my mom, I think, hated herself.
I don't know.
In the sense of, like, she didn't, you know, she was always trying to change the way that she looked. She was always trying to change the outside to make the inside feel better. Like, my mom blamed me for her weight gain. She was like, I, like, gained so much weight after having you. I used to be so thin. And, like, both my parents would religiously work out and be, and you know, put a lot of pressure on how they looked and like their weight. And, you know, my mom did it. Like, she was like, I'm done like being fat. I'm, you know, I'm gonna, in her terms, like, you know, she wasn't, but she had like VHS tapes of Pilates and she would just do it. She did it religiously every day. Because of my mom, I've been on like literally every single diet ever. Yeah. Ever.
I mean, that's what you said our first episode here. You know, you said you've done basically every diet out there.
Yeah.
That's because your mom
was on
a lot of them, I'm assuming, too.
Atkins, South Beach.
Oh, South Beach. Yeah.
Weight Watchers. The fucking Nutrisystem. Like if
Slim Fast even
Slim Fast
was probably the first diet I was ever like the first like fad diet that I was personally ever introduced to,
mm-hmm.
Cause my dad drank them for himself, and then it was Sharon, you can have these too,
mm-hmm.
and then when my sister wanted some, my dad would be like, you don't need these, you can just have regular chocolate milk, and that was kind of, I was like, wait, what? And then he was like, well, you know, we have a little extra pudge to lose, kid. You know, he tried to make it like I'll give my dad credit for at least never being like mean about it, like, mm-hmm. he was never like, you suck, you know. But I mean, it doesn't make it any better, but I guess for him it was always like he was trying to be like, hey, we gotta lose weight together, you know, I got some weight to lose too, or mm-hmm. oh, you know, I love you the way you are, but I know your life would be easier if you lost some weight. It was stuff like that, mm-hmm. where it was like, you're putting me up and then you're cutting me down in the same breath.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, my parents were so mean.
I
think I've talked about it before, but I think I remember vividly, like, my dad being like, your thighs are huge. Like, look at them. They're disgusting. Like, and I think it's crazy because that becomes your inner voice. Like,
yes.
like other people's criticisms become your thoughts. And then you have to be like, now that I'm older, I'm like, I think something, and it's like, don't believe all your thoughts, because sometimes they're not all yours.
Thoughts aren't facts.
Yeah.
Thoughts aren't facts. And yeah. Like you just said, oftentimes those thoughts aren't yours.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%.
And that's, you know, we're tying it back in, but that's why boundary setting is so important. And, you know, you know, if you don't want to talk about this, obviously you don't have to. Mm-hmm. But I know that in the last few years, you have set pretty strong boundaries with your family. And that's precisely why you haven't talked to your brother in a while. You know, mm-hmm. he, you know, you set a boundary with him and he didn't want to meet that, you know?
Yeah, I think that honestly the book, and I know this was my brother, but they do talk about siblings somewhat in it, but Adult Children of Emotionally Unavailable Parents like changed my life.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you were telling me about this.
It's like it changed my life in the sense of, I mean, it was extremely hard to read because it was so accurate and true to my life, but after every chapter I would literally write aggressively in my journal. But I finally, and with the help of friends, I finally decided to cut off my family. And then like I kind of realized how quick they were to come back. I kind of realized how quick they were to try and form a relationship with me again. But it was definitely better because it was on my terms.
Yes.
And my parents, I'm very grateful because we have a much better relationship now. But that was something I had to work really hard on. And I mean, I was like riddled with guilt. Like I was riddled with like just extreme guilt that like, oh, I just in my culture, like family is like the ultimate the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. Like, even now that I don't talk to my brother, I hear, well, he's your brother. Well, he's, you know, it's like, well, if yeah. I was in an abusive relationship with someone, you would never tell me to go back to them.
Yeah.
And so I have to like step through that guilt. I have to step through that to be like, what is best for me? Whereas like in my culture, it's like what's best for everyone else and then think right. about yourself last.
Yes.
Ugh. So I think my parents do think that I'm very selfish in a lot of ways. I think that they think that I have a lot of like, quote unquote, American ideals. But it's like, no, I just finally started putting myself first.
Right. Right. And I think at this point, they probably thought to themselves that they had to like be okay
mm-hmm.
with you not wanting all of their unsolicited advice, without wanting their influence in how you live your life. Like you've proven that you're going to live your life the way you want to, no matter what.
I think also like now I'm much stronger in the way that I fight for myself. You know, it's really easy
that part.
You know, like my dad will be like, well, you know, are you eating healthy? I'm like, well, why are you bringing that up? Well, I just want you to be healthy. Well, I will send you my blood results so that you could see that my weight does not affect my health at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like I'm getting checked up regularly. If there was something wrong, I would go and see what's going on.
Yes. But
at this time,
and correct me if I'm wrong, but would you say healthcare in Lebanon is similar to healthcare here in the way where doctors will often tell you just lose weight and then see how you feel? Is it like more exacerbated there? Or?
No, actually, healthcare there is really fucking awesome.
Oh, sick.
Like I didn't have an issue with the doctors ever telling me like you're too fat. I really do think that they were more like, what's the illness at hand, and mm-hmm. then go to the pharmacy and get your shit and go feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas America profits off of people being sick. So
right.
here it's like, yeah, of course people are going to be like, well, you're fat. Like I literally, oh my God, I got something from my insurance like saying like, are you ready to lose weight? Like my insurance will give me like will provide free care for me to help me lose weight. Like this is like we could talk more about that next time about how
I was just gonna say we're gonna have to table that because yeah. that's absolutely a segue
yeah.
into that. But I was curious, you know, because I've never had any healthcare outside of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And healthcare, I mean, I as early as being like, I think 5 or 6 years old, which at that time I really didn't. I was pretty, you know, average sized kid. Mm-hmm. But even then, it was just like, well, she's getting a bit of a belly on her,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember that, like the doctor using the term belly, mm-hmm. and then me being like, why does that sound strange?
Yeah.
And then getting older and anytime being like, well, I remember the first time I ever went to the doctor for depression.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, well, oftentimes being overweight can make people depressed. I was 14 years
really,
old.
Really? It wasn't the chemical imbalance in my brain?
Right.
Okay.
And so that was also around the time, you know, that my dad would be like, well, you and me we're going to start taking walks together. And yeah. This should never happen. But you know what I'm saying?
No,
it's like they try to make it like a group thing. And it's really just lose weight.
Yeah.
But I also do want to talk more about the cultural differences here, because even though we're from different sides of the world, our parents still felt the intense need to try and influence us and make us think that we had to be thinner to be more valuable.
Yeah.
And or just to be happier.
Yeah.
That was, you know, but are you happy?
You are valuable.
Yeah. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that
I'm happy.
I think that, yeah.
Relatively.
I think that, like, life is life.
Life is life.
And, you know.
Whether you're fat or thin or somewhere in between, I feel like we all have our own struggles.
Yeah, exactly.
Being thin isn't going to take that away.
No.
So we've covered a lot of ground today. We talked about the Lizzo upcoming trial. We talked mm-hmm. about cultural influence on how we live our lives. A lot of the things to come are going to be heavy.
Pun intended.
You know what? Yeah, pun intended. The next topics will be very plus-sized. See, it doesn't make sense. Because they're heavy. But without further ado, I can't wait to be timing off this stuff again. This has been the Big Bitch Energy Podcast with me, Sharon.
And Suze Ballo at the Lincoln Lodge.
Whoa, the Lincoln Lodge in Wicker Park,
ooh.
Illinois. Cue, cue, cue.
All right. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Till next time, eat snacks. Big Bitch Energy.